LP. Okay, ready? It's the new swag, baby. Woke up this morning and I told myself, I'm not gonna worry about what I cannot help. People dying innocently, hate is spreading rapidly. I'm not talking apathy, but some things God's gotta work. Whoa, he's gotta, yeah. Check it out.
Let us pray. Father God, once more and again, we thank you for this blessed opportunity to be here, Lord. It's only your goodness, your grace, and your mercy that allows us to be here right now. We are clothed and we are in our right mind, Lord, and we just want to say thank you. Father God, thank you for guiding us up and down the dangerous highways, Lord, past dangers seen and unseen, and giving us safe passage to this appointed time, Lord. Father God, we go no further than we thank you for Jesus, Lord. Jesus did everything that needed to be done, Lord. He healed, he loved, he saved. And we just want to say thank you. They put him in a grave, but he didn't stay there, Lord. He got up. Because he got up, we get up. Because he lives, we live, and we can face tomorrow. So we just thank you for Jesus, Lord. Father God, I ask a blessing upon the angel of this church, Pastor R.E. Foster. Bless him, his wife, wherever they may be, Lord. I thank him for the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk and break the bread of life. I ask a blessing upon the audiovisual staff, Lord, that is helping me, Lord, do what you would have me to do. Father God, bless them individually, bless them collectively, bless their families, Lord. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Bless everyone that encompasses Zion Rest, this church that you put in beautiful Southwest Austin, Lord. Father God, we're doing church differently, Lord. But the main thing is that we're doing church, Lord, that we're honoring you, Lord, however we need to do it, via Zoom or over our smartphones, whatever we have to do, Lord. We're going to stay connected until you bring us back together in a physical manner, Lord. Until then, we are determined to be about your business. So, Father God, we ask all this, we pray all this, and we claim all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture will be coming from two verses. Romans 8:28 will be the principal verse, and then Genesis 50:20 will be an accompanying verse. Romans 8:28 reads as follows, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Amen. It is November 6, 2020. We are well into this pandemic, this COVID-19, this latter part of 2020, and we're still trying to figure out how to maneuver, how to walk, how to talk, how to get through this thing. We've been feeling some things spiritually and physically and mentally, and it's been a tough road to walk, Lord. Lots of hills and potholes and places that may be filled with danger, places that cause us to have concerns, Lord. And I'm not even going to talk about the political situation that we find ourselves in, because we know, Lord, that we went in there and we voted according to kingdom principles. Amen. So whatever is going to be, we just ask that you would guide whoever becomes the leader of this wonderful nation. Amen. But the pandemic seems to be never ending. But this too shall pass. So how do we handle it? How do we get through it? How do we continue to move forward and prosper and in power and in your presence, Lord? So I want to kind of walk into that, lean into that. And it's from Romans 8:28, and the title is "It's All Good Because God's Got It." Amen. Intro. This is a very familiar piece of scripture. Sometimes it's misinterpreted. Sometimes it's misused. Amen. When it's not used in the proper context. But it's all good because God's got it. Now, during this 2020, many things have happened. Many people have lost loved ones. People have lost mothers, and they've lost fathers. Entire families have been lost during this pandemic. Many talented people have been lost. People that someone loved, somebody cared about, somebody that made a difference in somebody's life. There have been many funerals that many couldn't attend, that they had to watch from afar. So we didn't get the opportunity to really recognize people as we would like to, Lord. But everything happens for a reason. Amen. Amen. Even in the midst of chaos, you're still a God of order. Amen. Because it's all good because God's got it. But then I can hear somebody saying, wait a minute, Minister Lundy, how is it all good? I mean, I've lost my mother, and I've lost my father, and I've lost my job, and I've lost the roof over my head, and I've lost my vehicle, and I've lost my spouse, or my girlfriend, or my boyfriend. Or how are you telling me, how are you standing up here and telling me that it's all good because God's got it? I'm glad you asked that question, and I'll try to answer that. First of all, let's realize everything that happens is not good. Amen. Even apart from the pandemic, this is a life that is fraught with danger and trials and tribulations and loss. But now you add the pandemic, and that adds another layer to it. Things that were unseen have suddenly become seen. Those who don't have suddenly are seen. Those who have too much, or those who have more, the haves and the have-nots, are very visible. Like I said, everything that happens is not good, but it's how we react to everything. Cancer is not good. I will give you that. Heart attacks are not good. Parkinson's disease is not good. Dementia is not good. Breast cancer, lung cancer, prostate cancer are not good. Death is not good, but God is good. And it's all good because God's got it. Amen. as we move along, I want to try to touch on 3 points. The first point is certainty. The second point is caring. And the third point is called. Amen? Certainty, caring, and called. As we maneuver through these verses, it says, and we know. Let's just stop right there. It doesn't say, and we think. Amen? And we believe, and we ask somebody, and somebody said that it was so. No, it says, and we know. We is us. Amen? Yes, we know God on an individual basis. We know God on a personal basis. We know Jesus as our Savior on a personal basis. But when we, us, the people of God, the called up of God, the church, the ecclesia, we know, not just that we know that we know that we know that we know. We don't have to ask anybody because we're living it and we're breathing it. We have a relationship with God. We don't have to ask anybody about God. I can ask somebody about God, but I really don't have to ask anybody about God because I know God for myself. How do I know him for myself? Because I talk to him every day, not every other day. I talk to him every day. When I wake up, when my eyes come open, I say, thank you, Lord, for one more day. And then I look over and I see my wife. Thank you, Lord, that my wife is all right. And then I go see my children. Thank you, Lord, that my children are all right. And then I start to take inventory and self-assessment. Amen. Like I said, so there's a certainty and we know. I know. We know. That's why we can worship together. Because we're all individuals coming together as a collective group, serving a prayer answering God, a powerful God, a loving God, a blessing God. And yes, we may not be doing it at 3326 Paisano Trail. But one day it will be over. We'll be able to walk through those doors and wave at the ushers and look at the choir and look and listen to the pastor face to face. I know it's going to happen because we know that all things work together for good. Everything doesn't feel good. Everything doesn't look good. But God, in his power, in his infinite wisdom, in his all-knowing, knowing that the end from the beginning, he's going to work it out. I used an analogy one time that life is like gumbo. Amen? And I know everybody likes gumbo. I like gumbo. I haven't had it for a long time. I'm looking forward to getting my hands on some of that good homemade stuff. Amen? But the beautiful thing about gumbo is if you get the roux right, everything else, pretty much, you can pretty much put anything in there. You can take a little bit of this, and you can take a little bit of that. Really, that's what life is about, is taking a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Amen? So we have a certainty, and we know that all things work together for good. Now, it doesn't work together for good for everybody. It doesn't work together for good for anybody. It works together for good to them that love God. Amen. So really, these are words of comfort for believers. Amen. Why? Because we know God. Amen. We're serving God. We're worshiping God. We're giving God the best, the first, not the last. We're giving it off the top, not what we got left over. Amen. I said, so we know that all things work together for good. So we have a certainty in God, and then we have caring. We love God and we live in Christ because all things work together for good to them. We're the them. We're the us. We're the washed in the blood, holding up the blood stained banner, walk in the straight and narrow path, because this is to them that love God. If you don't love God, you're not going to get all the benefits. Amen. Okay. Sometimes we use the word saints and ain'ts. I like to say those who know him and those who don't know him, because there's a difference. To them that love God, what we get, what we receive, the rewards that we get are because we have a relationship with God. Amen. Just like we have a relationship with our spouses. Amen. Just like we have a relationship with our children, just like we have a relationship with friends, the people we care about, we pour into, we invest ourselves in them. If they were not important, we would not expend the energy, nor the time, nor the effort. So the things that we love, we go the extra mile. When we don't want to go down to that job, we think, I need to put food on the table. I need to keep a roof over their heads. If it was just me, it would be a whole lot different. But I got a wife that depends on me. I've got some children that depends on me. So that's like gas in my tank. So then I pray myself up and I go down to that job that is the best job in the world, especially on payday. Amen. So we have certainty because we know. We have caring because this is for them that love God. And then as we move, I'm going to move to that third point. It says called. It just says to them who are the called according to his purpose. Because there's a saying, many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. We come to the realization that God has been calling us. God has been speaking to us. We haven't been listening. We've been ignoring him. We've been pretending that we're deaf. But God has been speaking to us. God has been telling us, you are just living at the lowest level of life. If you knew all the plans that I have for you, it would blow your mind. But I need you to give yourself to me. See, that's the part we don't like. We're control freaks. We don't want anybody to control us, tell us what to do. I'm grown and can't nobody tell me nothing. Well, if no one can tell you anything, then you're never going to learn anything and you're never going to be anything. And I don't care how old you are. You're never too old to learn. There's people in their 70s, 80s learning how to use the internet, learning how to use social media, because it's not just something that we did on the side. Now it has become a necessity, but they're learning it and they're doing it because that's how we're staying connected. Amen. So it's all good because God's got it. So we have the certainty that we know. We have the caring that we work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. We're not following our own purpose. We're following his purpose, because once we stopped ignoring his voice and listen to his voice, we realize that he loves us more really than we love our very own selves. Amen. So as I'm moving along, like I said, good things can come out of bad situations. I want to give you an example. It's found in Genesis 50, verse 20. It's about Joseph. Joseph had dreams. Joseph shared with the youngest of a bunch of brothers, and he shared his dreams with his brothers, and they got angry with him. They got so mad, they wanted to kill him. But one of the brothers had enough sense to say, he's our brother. All right. So they threw him in a pit. And when some travelers came along, they sold him to them and he got taken off to Egypt. But that was not the end of Joseph's story. All right. It was the beginning of Joseph's story. His ascension from the pit to the palace. Amen. Because in all the time, Joseph was serving God. And sometimes serving God, sometimes you feel all by yourself, all right? But you know what? You and God is a majority, amen? Amen? If you got God on your side and you're on God's side, like somebody said, if God, in one of the scriptures in Romans, it said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, if God is with you, if God is moving you and motivating you and manifesting himself in you, you are an unstoppable force in the kingdom. You are someone to be reckoned with. But if you're not a child of the king, then you're in another category. All the blessings that you don't have, all the status that you, all the, God is ready to bless you. He's ready to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. But you've got to turn from your wicked ways. Amen. It's all good because God's got, so back to Joseph, it says, and people schemed against him, and Joseph knew how to read dreams, and he interpreted dreams for Pharaoh, and he got elevated, like I said, to be in charge of Pharaoh's, in charge of an Egyptian household, of the most powerful man in Egypt. But his wife wanted to get with Joseph, and Joseph said, no, I'm not for that. And sometimes when people want you to do evil, they're like, oh, so I'm not going to get what I want? Well, guess what? Then you're going to jail. So she told her husband that Joseph tried to attack her, which was a lie, but Joseph got thrown in jail. All right? But the thing is, when you're doing what God wants you to do, all right, you will not be kept down. You will not be held down. God will find a way to take you out of the pit and elevate you to the palace. So Joseph got moved out of the jail, and then he got moved up further in the administration. And at one point he became the most powerful, literally the second most powerful person in Egypt. We're talking about somebody who was despised by his own brothers. And now he's the second most powerful person in the country of Egypt. And in Genesis 50, chapter 50, verse 20, I said, his brothers had to come to Egypt to get food because there was a famine in the land that they came from. Now, come on now. A lot of us would have said, oh, no, it's payback time now. OK, y'all threw me in a pit and tried to kill me and tried to deny me and tried to take away my life and take away my dreams and take away everything. But thank God that Joseph did not think like most of us think. This is what Joseph said. Listen to this. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save many people. So Joseph was not interested in revenge. Joseph was not interested in payback, because Joseph had made his peace with his family a long time ago. He was happy to see that. They said, everything that I went through, all the bad things that can we look at our lives and think about all the bad things that happened to us, and then realize that there's a process going on, that God is preparing us. We're starting at the bottom, and God, it keeps moving us up the king's highway. God is elevating us, even though people want to tear us down and bring us down, and they might even be in our own family. But God, what somebody else meant for bad, God meant for good. So Joseph was able to reestablish his relationship with his family, to forgive his family, to let them know that what you did for me, you didn't know back then, but actually you were thinking that you were taken away, but actually you were building me up. Every time we go through troubles, every time we go through trials, every time we go through tribulations, if we look at it the right way, if we process it the right way, if we pray about it, if we ask God to give us insight, we walk by faith and not by sight. And in these pandemic times, these times we find, I don't want to wear a mask. I'm tired of wearing a mask. I don't want to social distance. I want to hug somebody. I want to shake somebody's hand. But now is not the right time. But one day, if we don't lose hope, one day, if we keep on praying, if we keep on believing, if we keep on knowing that it's all good because God's got it. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, God has certainly got it. God hung the sun, He hung the moon, He hung the stars. If there's planets out there that we haven't discovered, He put those out there too. I don't know about you, but I'm looking at this time, this pandemic, however it lasts, however long it lasts. People say, I want things to go back to be the same. You know what? I don't want things to be the same. I want to be better than I've ever been before. And I'm moving to a close. We know the certainty. We know the caring. But we also have to be called. And you have to answer. We're all called. But you have to answer the call. And our call is to be like Jesus. Jesus is our example. Jesus was persecuted. Jesus was talked about. He was taken advantage of in a rigged court system. All he did was love people and feed people and help people. And when they had a choice between him and a bank robber, they said, we'll take the bank robber over Jesus. Jesus, who has done no wrong. Even Pilate himself said, I find no fault with him. So I'm just washing my hands of the whole thing. I'm not, y'all do whatever you want to do. And when Jesus was hanging on that cross between those two thieves who actually belonged there, they actually deserved punishment. One was talking about Jesus like a dog, and the other one had to tell his buddy in crime, you need to shut up, man. We committed crimes. We belong up here. But Jesus, he has done nothing. And he had enough sense. And I'm thinking at some point, some of us need to have enough sense that our moments, we don't know when they may stop. Like the old folks say, that we pray that our moments roll on just a little while longer. We don't know. I might not finish this sermon. But if not, I've got a seat in the kingdom. God has done more for me than I deserve. As I move to a close, I went to a funeral a couple of weeks ago for the pastor of the church that I attended when I first came to Austin, the church that my wife grew up in, that our oldest daughter and her grew up in that church, and her grandmother and her grandfather were deacon, and the pastor of the church passed away 2 weeks ago. His name was Raymond Ellis Scott. He was the pastor of Goodwill Baptist Church. It's amazing when you look back and you really think about how blessed you've been. I have been blessed. I was blessed to have Raymond Ellis Scott in my life, not just to be my pastor, to be my mentor, to be my friend, to see a man who took care of his responsibilities, who loved his wife, who loved his daughter. There were three things I knew about Pastor Scott. He loved God. He loved his wife, Barbara, and he loved his daughter, Kim. That's all I needed to know. And he would talk to me. And the thing about Pastor Scott is he didn't play around. I mean, one time I told him, I was trying to tell him some stuff. He said, first of all, because it was a little church, he said, you need to come on time. He said, I see you coming in late. And I said, yes, okay. So I had to, okay, you're right. I need to come on time. So I started coming on time. And then next thing you know, like I said, I started to show myself faithful, and I started to grow, and the Lord was working with me, and I got baptized there in 1987, and 2.5 years later, I married Terry, and he married us in May of 1990, and like I said, he was a strong-willed man, and I'm a strong-willed man, and sometimes, like I said, but the point is, looking back, he's like, he was the best pastor I ever could have had. And then the thing is that he prepared me to come to Zion Rest, me and my family, because he was R.E. Scott, and our pastor is R.E. Foster. Now, God, you can't tell me, guys, that they're, somebody said it's coincidence. No, God is working. He moved me from us from there to over here. So I thank God for R.E. Scott, for R.E. Foster. But Raymond Ellis Scott was the greatest. I've had two of the greatest pastors I could have ever asked for. God has blessed me. So I know for a fact that I would not be here right now if not for R.E. Scott and R.E. Foster. So I thank God for them both believing in me, seeing more of me, that there was more in me than I even saw in myself. Amen. So as we move to a close, I just want to say it's all good because God's got it. It may not look good. It may not feel good. Losing somebody you love is not, it's not, it does not feel good. But we're all not going to stay here forever. We are temporary citizens of the earth. Amen. But as long as we're here, really all we have to learn is that we need to love one another. Stop fussing about stuff that really doesn't matter. If for me, the pandemic has just made things, it's clarified some things. It's let me know that I need to be a better husband, and I need to be a better father, and I need to be a better Christian, and I need to be a better friend, and I need to be a better preacher. I need to do more work for the kingdom, because God is going to pull me up out of here one day. And all I want to hear is well done, not half done, one quarter. Whatever God is given, whatever rewards, whatever blessings, I want them. I want to get them. But I need to be about his business. So as I move to the invitation, like I said, I know that some may see this. And like I said, all I'm asking is, what are you doing with the life that God has given you? The air that he's allowing you to breathe, the blood that is running warm through your veins. Amen. It's all good because God's got it. Whatever it is, give it to God. You don't have to roll around in your sleep. You don't have to worry about how the bills are going to pay. I gave it to God. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. When you're supposed to be sleeping, he's up. He's watching over you. He's watching over your family. He's watching over your possession. He's making sure that everything is taken care of. You don't have to lose another night of sleep. Just turn it over to God and accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. As I move to the invitation, Lord, right here and right now, you're allowing me to speak to someone. Because we all need you, Lord. We need you more, Lord, than perhaps we've ever needed you before. But we've always needed you, Lord. So, Father God, somebody may not know how to talk to you, Lord. So all they have to do is say these words. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Lord and my Savior. Father God, I believe you died. I believe you rose, and I believe that you are certainly coming back again. And I want my future to be fixed, Lord. Things are so uncertain, but the God that I serve, the Jesus that is my Savior, he is the Savior of the world. God is the Father of the world. If we just turn from our wicked ways, repent of our sins, and we can live a life anew and be with you for the balance of our days. And then, Lord, no matter what kind of life that we've lived, how raggedy it was, how ungodly it was, Lord, we repent of our sins. You come into our heart. You fill us with your Spirit, Lord. And then we have a seat in your kingdom where no one can take us away from you, Lord. Where we can be with you forever, Lord. Father God, I pray here right now, in this place, in this moment, at this time, that some man, woman, boy, or girl would hear your call, Lord, and would know that it's all good because God's got it. Amen. And Father God, I now move to the benediction. And now, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
I'm telling you what I know. God's got it.